إن الحمد لله أحمده وأستعينه وأستغفره نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد عليكم السلام فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وإنما توعدون لآت وما أنتم بمعجزين. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's the only one worthy of praise. Seek his help, his guidance and his forgiveness. I believe in him and I trust him. I seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Al-Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is the Sunnah. The worst of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. Inshallah, today we continue in our class concerning the explanation of the book Bulugh al-Maram in Adillat al-Ahkam by Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. The book that call attainment of the objective. And last class we had start the second half of the book, alhamdulillah. And last week we talk about the book of business and transaction, and we cover up to page number 279. And we came to hadith number 664. And inshallah, today we continue in the second class in the book of business and transaction. And we go over again over the last qabla hadith, so we can bring this to our mind and our memory what we were talking about last week. Last week, the last two hadiths that we discussed was hadith number 664 and hadith number 665. And both hadiths are authentic. The first one, which reported by Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, qal, نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن بيع الحصى. Hadith reported by Abu Huraira, and the hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayh, which Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم forbade transaction determined by throwing stones. And also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbid any transaction which involves some uncertainty. And the business or the transaction by using the hasa, the stone or the pebbles. To give example, that somebody will say to you, I will sell you this car according the amount of pebbles that my hand will grab from the ground, and he will take a handful of stones or a handful of pebbles, and you count how many pebbles in his hand. So if it's 10, he will tell you this car is $10,000. Okay, if it's 5, the car will be $5,000. So how much will come in his hand, this will be the price. This is one form. Another form, a person will tell you, I sell you a piece of land for $500. How much is this piece of hand? He say, I will throw this rock or this stone, and how far the stone will go and land, this will be your property for $500. Okay? Or that a person will say to you, I sell you one of these horses, okay, for $1,000. Which horse? You say, I will throw this stone, and which horse get hit by this stone, this is your horse for $1,000. This could not be done. It's not this only, but any other transaction may involve something is not clear and is not certain. That I sell you a portion of my property. How much is this portion? I'm selling you one of my houses. Which house is selling? You see, these things could not be done. And Islam will avoid the things or forbid the things, because Islam is concerned about Muslims to deal in transaction with certainty and clear. And also Islam try to avoid all means and avenues that bring about confusion in the Muslim life and bring about hatred and boycotting one another. Because now you are not going to be happy with the transaction, and now you're going to feel hatred in your heart towards your Muslim brother, and these things is disturb the Muslim community. So any transaction which has things is not clear to you, not clear to him, which part of the property, which horse, which car, which what, this could not be done. And we give example by one of the things that we deal with in our life, insurance. Because the transaction of insurance, okay, you don't know how much you're getting or how much is going to be involved. So you're paying a payments, monthly payments or a yearly payment. And if something happened to your house, like a fire or damage or a flood, now you will get such amount. And how much is this amount, you don't know. It depends on how much is the loss to happen, okay? And there is possibility that no flood will happen this year, okay? So all these things that has no clarity between you and the buyer or the seller, you could not be involved in it. This if you have your own choice and you have not been forced by the law and you have no other place to go, this is a different story now. The next hadith also reported by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. This is page number 279. Hadith number 665. وعنه يتمين رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عنه يتمين from Abu Huraira that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم is saying, من اشترى طعاما فلا يبيعه حتى يقتله. That whosoever, if one of you buys grain, he must not sell it till he weights it. Okay? So I bought 100 pounds of rice. I bought it by scale, or that I bought it by measurement. So if you measure 100 pounds of rice, or 100 grams, or whatever the measurement that you're using, so now when you want to resell this rice or this grain, you shouldn't sell it according the measurement or the weight that you bought it before. There is many possibilities happening during this, okay? Possibility of loss, possibility that you've been cheated before by the first person, but I have to re-weight it or rescale it or re-measurement, okay, and sell it to you according the measurement that I have and according your personal observation. Again, this also to avoid problems among the Muslims and people cheating one another and people doubting each other and people boycotting one another and fighting over these worldly things. The next hadith, which is hadith number 666, Imam Abdul Mubdi. Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me? Okay. Hadith number 666, and this is page number 279 from book Bulugh al-Maram, attainment of the objective. Again, page number 279, hadith number 666. وعنه, that means from Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه, نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن بيعتين في بيعة. The hadith is Hassan, reported by Abu Huraira, and the hadith in the collection of Imam Ahmad, Al-Nisa'i, and Al-Tirmidhi, and Ibn Majah. Walaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Again, this hadith in the collection of Imam Ahmad and Al-Nisa'i, Al-Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade two transactions combined in one. Two transactions combined in one. We give example by this. Okay? That a person, he will tell you, I sell you this car for $500 now, if you pay me cash now. And I'll sell it to you for $650 if you pay me later. Okay? Now you take the car and leave, but you did not determine and agree which pricing you're buying. Okay? So you could not do this. This is two kind of transaction dealing with the same item. Okay? This also will create a confusion. And this is not lawful in Al-Islam. There is other kind of transactions that I sell. I sell you this car and with the condition that you sell me your house. Okay? And the first one, because both of you left without knowing which deal he's taking, the immediately, which is cash, or the later on. And the second example that he's selling this car and same time for him to sell you this horse. Okay, so this is another two transaction in the same time, and you don't know if he's willing to sell you his horse or no, and if he has the horse, and if you own it or no, all these things. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbid a person make a transaction, two transaction combine in one thing. This hadith is hasan, is good, acceptable. In another narration, من باع بيعتين في بيعة فله أوكسهما أو الربا. Okay, and the hadith is hasan also. This in the collection of Imam Abu Dawood. If one makes two transaction combined in one, he must confirm that the lower, or that mean he have to go by the lower price, or that he will be involved in usury and interest. Okay, so now I sell you this car for $500 now, and if you pay me later, you pay me $650. Now the person left, this is two transaction involved in one deal. Okay, so now the person left, we don't know which one he's going to take. Is he's going to pay now, or he's going to pay after 1 month? Okay, what's going to happen if he comes with the money tomorrow? Okay, say no, I meant you understand, give me now while I was standing there. In this condition, the seller has no choice except to do what? To go according the lower price. Otherwise, if he dealt with the second negotiation, he's going to be dealing with usury, dealing with haram. Okay, so now if a person make two transaction in one, he have to go by the lower one. Otherwise, if he go by the higher bid, that he will be involved in usury, which is very haram. There is another example for two transaction. Two transaction in one, that I will sell you this car for $500. And you pay me later. And now you sell me this car back for $400 cash. Okay, again, I will sell you this car now for $500. I give it to you now for $500. Okay, but you're going to pay me in a month later. After we agree about the price, now I sell to you, I tell you what, sell me this car, the same car, for $400 cash. So what does this mean? That mean I'm giving you $400, so you still owe me. And so that means this 100 came as what? It's a matter of usury now. Okay, that now you involved in usury, you involved in something haram, making two transaction in one. So now I sold it and I bought it back from you with less money, and this was almost like a trick. So how you can get with some kind of using the money? Okay, so in this condition, the person, he have no choice except the buyer, except to go the lower bid or the lower price. So from this hadith we understand, whatever form in business, it have to be one transaction at the time. You could not make two transaction in the same commodity in the same time, and this has been forbidden in Islam also. The next hadith, which hadith number 667 عن عمرو بن شعيب عن أبيه عن جده قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يحل سلف وبيع ولا شرطان في بيع ولا ربح ما لا يضمن ولا بيع ما ليس عندك. this hadith is Hassan. The hadith in the collection of Imam Abu Dawood, Tirmizi, Nisa'i, Ibn Majah, Ahmad and Al-Hakim. So now a person that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that the condition of loan combined with a sale is not permissible. Okay, you could not tie two things together, loan and sale in the same time. So I will tell you as example, I will sell you this car for $1,000 and as a condition you lend me $1,000. Okay, so now that for you to buy this car for $1,000 that you lend me $1,000, so now I'm buying and I'm making agreement with you that you lend money in the same time from you. Okay, so this is the selling and loan in the same time. This is not permissible in Islam. ولا شرطاني في بيعة. Not two conditions related to one transaction. The same thing like we just spoke about in the previous hadith. Okay. ولا بيع ولا بيع ما ليس عندك. Okay. Two transactions in one, that I sell you this book, okay, for $2 if you pay me now and $5 if you pay me next week. Again, this is two transactions related to the same thing. Or that I said to you, I will sell you this car with condition. I sell you this car with a condition that you don't give it a gift, neither that you resell it. Okay? Again, this is two conditions in one transaction. And also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbid that the profit of something that you don't own. Nor the profit arising from something which is not is in own charge. That you could not make a profit of something doesn't belong to you. Okay, I don't sell you, make a profit out of a car of belong to somebody else. Okay. Or that I make a profit in commodity that I didn't got it yet. Okay, so I make a deal with you that I'm selling you this car for $500 and I don't even have the car. Okay, somebody promised me, my brother or whatever, my sister promised me to give me her car as soon as she get another car. Now I'm selling you the car, making a profit of something that I don't possess it or I don't have it. And all these things is forbidden in Islam because these things bring about hatred and boring at one another because things is not clear. It's not clear, okay? You're selling something, you don't have it, I could not see it. You're making two transactions in one, making two negotiations in about the same thing. So all these things like a confusion to the people, and even if it works right away, it brings about argument and dispute and boring cat in one another later on. Now regardless if we save from boycotting or no, argument or no, it's still, if somebody say it's fine with me, and even if the car didn't show up, it's still fine with me. Even if it's fine with you, but still, because by the Islamic law is not permissible. Okay, so it's not enough that the buyer and the seller agree to the condition, okay? The property itself has to be lawful, okay? That I'm selling you a car, that I'm not selling you a statue as example. Alright. That you are pleased with the transaction and pleased with the transaction, okay? And it has to be lawful Islamically. That means Allah make it permissible and His Messenger. Okay? So if somebody said that, alaikum salam, that is no problem, I agree for this condition, we said no, you could not make this kind of transaction because Islam forbids this form of transaction. The next hadith, hadith number 668, is weak. Okay? The hadith is weak, so we're going to leave it alone. Hadith number 669, page number 280, وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال: ابتعت زيتا من السوق فلما استوجبته لقيني رجل فأعطاني به ربحا حسنا فأردت أن أضرب على يد الرجل فأخذ رجل من خلفي بذراعي فالتفت فإذا هو زيد ابن ثابت فقال لا تبعه حيث ابتعته حتى تحوزه إلى رحلك فإن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى أن تباع السلع حيث تبتاع حتى يحوزها التاجر إلى رحالهم حتى يحوزها التجار إلى رحالهم. This hadith is Hassan and in the collection of Imam Ahmad, Abu Dawood, Ibn Hibban and Al-Hakim. Was having in this story that Ibn Umar had went to the market and he bought oil or a ghee, and after he bought it, another man met him in the market and he negotiated the make a negotiation with him, and he gave him a good price, and Ibn Umar was about to agree to the deal, but in this moment somebody took by his arm from behind him. When he looked, this was Zayd ibn Thabit, and he said to him, don't sell it until you take it out of the place that you bought it from. And after this he narrated the narration from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم forbid the commodity or whatever what he's selling to be sold on the spot where they were bought from till the business people take them to their dwelling places. Okay? So here Zayd, he forbade Ibn Umar and he stopped him from doing this kind of transaction. And we see from this we learn that the Sahaba, some of them, they used to be more learned than others, okay? Because not all the Sahaba used to be there when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam given class or given hadith, okay? Some of them, they have illness or sickness, some of them in jihad, some of them they taking care of business outside, some of them maybe live a distance. So some of them, they have the information and some they don't. But what happens that those who have the information, they use to advise and correct and teach others who does not have the information. And usually the person who have the information, he is more acceptable than the person who doesn't have it. So somebody say, oh, I don't have any information concerning this. Okay? The other Sahabi said, I heard the Prophet ﷺ saying this. So the person, they say, man alima hujja ala ma lam ya'lam, that the person that who have the knowledge, we welcome him, or that we respect what he got, than that a person who doesn't have it. Okay, so a person who has the knowledge will respect it more than the person does not have it. I don't mean the respect is that a person, you understand, that means what you mean? That means we accept the information. For those who claim they have the information, than a person who doesn't have information. Okay? The second thing about this hadith, that it's forbidden for a person to sell the commodity, if this is the right term to use, whatever this item that you buy, you could not resell it in the same spot. Okay, you have to possess it completely by transferring this from the spot that you're in, because as long we still in the same spot, you as a buyer, me as a seller, we still have the right that we can cancel this transaction. So as example, a person, he have to possess this with him, to move it from the spot to another spot, which you consider your spot. Okay, so as example, if we say that you are in the state auction and just now you bought this car, okay, now you could not move and somebody said, okay, I take this car for you and give you $100 more. Now this car have to come to your position, your title, your ownership, comes to your lot, now you can come and buy it, because now you call mine, in my position. Okay, what about a house as example? You could not take the house to move it to your place. Okay, so the transaction here, how it's going to happen, that by emptying the house. Okay, now when you empty the house, that nobody live in the house, and now you're giving me the house, now this is the house became my possession, because the house could not be transferred from place to place. So the position of the house in this time will be the sign of it by what? By emptying the house from your furniture. If somebody renting the house, they step out of the house, and now the house can be became yours and under your ownership. As I stated before, that this hadith is hasan, is good. Hadith number 670, page number 281. وعنه, that mean Ibn Umar also, قال قلت يا رسول الله إني أبيع الإبل الإبل بالبقية فأبيع الدنانير وأخذ الدراهم وأبيع بالدراهم وأخذ الدنانير أخذ هذا من هذا وأعطي هذا من هذا. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا بأس أن تأخذها بسعر يومها ما لم تتفرقا وبينكما شيء. In actuality, this hadith, we could not say even hadith, is mawquf. Okay, this is narration from the companion, he did not utter it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But concerning the waqf of the hadith is acceptable, that authentic, that al-baqiyya, which is the place of the graveyard, okay, before they use it as a graveyard, it used to be a marketplace, and Ibn Umar used to sell the camel there. And this one thing to show us that the Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with them, that they are a people of business or trade or some kind of work. They are not the people who sitting as beggars or only sitting in the mosque, the masjid, like some people imagine, okay, to be sitting only receiving the knowledge day and night, doing nothing else, okay. So we see them doing things to earn a dollar, because earning a halal dollar, and this is the reason that you find Islam even talking about how to earn your dollar, because this is part of Islam. So working and earning a money, as long as lawful, is a form of ibadah and a form of obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they have responsibility towards yourself, towards your family, towards the Muslim community also, okay? Even if you are not married, you're still supposed to be helping the Muslims in general. Therefore, that we see that Sahaba in different ahadith, they're doing different things. Some of them have cultivation, some of them they selling, making business, whatever they're doing, okay? So in this hadith, he used Ibn Umar to sell the dinars and take dirhams. And he used to sell the dirham and take dinars. That means he used, like you say, selling the gold by silver and receiving the price in silver, and selling silver and receiving the price in gold. Okay? So he was questioning about it, or asking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed him that is no harm taking them as the current rate of that day, as long as you don't separate it, leaving each other, means the buyer and the seller, while still something to settle between both of you. That means you give the full price. When you're dealing with gold to silver and silver to gold, it can be done, but you have to settle the agreement, finish it there on the spot, and nothing can be for later on. That means I could not sell you 10 silver riyal, as example, for 3 gold and I pay you later, okay? Or I sell it according the price of tomorrow or next week or yesterday. It has to be according the going rate of today, and it has to be also the transaction took place right away in the spot, and nothing to be left from the price of such thing like gold and silver. It has to be settled and finalized it on the spot when you made this deal right away. The next hadith, hadith number 671, from Ibn Umar, Naha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an al-Najash. Hadith muttafaq alayh. The hadith in the collection of al-Bukhari and Muslim, rahmatullah alayhima, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had forbade the Najash, okay, bidding against one another. And this, like, if the item is not open for negotiation, I mean for bidding, okay, there is certain things that you can sell it for bidding. Like, say, I want to sell this tape recorder. Who give me? How much you give me for it? Somebody will say $10, and the other person, he say, oh, I say, who give more? Somebody say 15, 20. Okay? So this I open for bidding. But if I'm selling this book for $5, and here I'm about to understand, make this transaction, and somebody else will say, may I give you $6 for it? Okay, I did not start it and I didn't bought it in public for bidding, and I was selling it. So now you come and you make a higher price over your Muslim brother. What do you think, how is your Muslim brother going to feel about you? Okay, So was not offering for bidding, and he came and he set a higher price. And also there is other possibilities that people come and do this not for purpose of buying. They do it so the price can go up and up, and after this he withdrew, and now you're going to sell it for the highest price that he got while this person already left. So now instead I was going to get it for $5, now I have to pay $12. Okay, and now you got to get the idea that now you can sell it for up to $12, and the person left, now you are not willing to give it to me for $5. You see, so if somebody presenting something for sale for a set price, is not supposed for another Muslim to come and make a bid over him and raise the price and causing difficulty and hardship for his Muslim brother, and this again can bring about harshness and going catting each other and have hatred and jealousy and envy in the heart for one another. Regardless again if it's going to bring about hatred or no, still you are not supposed to do this, and if you do this or if you transact according this way, you be doing something haram. The hadith is authentic. Hadith number 672, وعن جابر ابن عبد الله رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى عن المحاقلة والمزابنة والمخابرة وعن السنية إلا أن تعلم. Hadith number 672, reported by Jabir, may Allah be pleased with him, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbid this kind of transaction. المحاقلة, that selling the barleys while still in the corns, not the corns, what you call the stock, before it became ripe already, okay? المزابنة, like palm trees, as the tree is just starting, the palm trees, the dates just start to come on the palm tree, and possibility that it can have a defect by the weather or by animals or what you call insect, all these possibilities, you understand, before completely come to be ready. Or that you sell in it while on the palm tree with a raisin that already been harvested and been measured already. So I sell you, understand, whatever on top of the palm tree, all these dates for 5 kilo of raisins. But how much dates on the palm tree? You don't know. You see, and how much out of it is going to be good is not known, but the raisin is ready to eat, and it is already, you saw it and you know that this is 5 pounds, so you could not make this kind of exchange or this kind of switching this by this transaction. You take this, buy this, okay, because you don't know what's going to be happening to this, and if you know, you don't know how much on the palm tree, okay, equal to this. You could not sell also the grains while still in the sticks with grains that already been harvested with 5 pounds of rice that already been harvested and bagged and in the bag ready to go, and the other rice is still in the grains, still in the sticks. Okay, you could not do this also. Wa alaikum salam. Al-Mukhabara, that you make a deal. You say to the person, I rent to you this 5 acres and you give me 1/3 of what comes. But what 1/3? Okay? 1/3 of what comes. This can be okay. But when you say, I rent you the 5 acres and I will take whatever comes from this area, no. Because this area of the land, this 1 acre of the land, it can be the best piece of property. So the whole harvest will come good in this acre, while maybe the other 4 acres, nothing comes good. You see? So that means the farmer had put all his effort and his sweat and he got nothing. And now you got what? You got all the good. Okay? But if it comes 1/3 of what it comes, this is a different story. 1/3 of what comes out of the 5 acres. You see, this will be a different from you make it a certain area, I will take the harvest which comes of this specific acre. You could not do this also in Islam. So from this hadith we understand that it's forbidden for a person selling something on the trees or something that already measured and ready to go, regardless whatever this kind of fruit or vegetable. The next hadith, which hadith number 673, step about to click Habib. Hadith number 673 عن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن المحاقلة والمخاضرة والملامسة والمنابذة والمزابنة. رواه البخاري. The hadith is authentic. Again, these terms, المحاقلة والمخاضرة والملامسة والمنابذة, all these forms are forbidden in Islam. Selling the fruits before it gets ripe, or before it gets ready. So now, later on, the mosquitoes or the insect and the birds comes eating it, okay? Or that storm comes and destroys the whole thing. All these things can happen. So you could not sell it before it became ready and possibilities that you can get it. Okay? The second thing, al-mulamasa, that you buy this soap or buy this material by touching it, okay? And maybe during the night, it's dark, okay? See, how much is this soap? This is $5. So this is using the hand only, but you don't examine it with your eye. So by touching it, this was not enough, because maybe the way how it feels is good, okay? See, how much is this soap? This is $5. So this is using the hand only, but you don't examine it with your eye. So by touching it, this was not enough, because maybe the way how it feels is good,